This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 20th, 2014. The fifth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Thy strength is the source of righteousness. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thy strength is the source of righteousness. Those are words from our first reading this morning from the Book of Wisdom. If something comes from the Book of Wisdom, I would think that we might want to pay attention to it because it would make us wise, right? The Book of Wisdom, the prophet, speaks of the strength of God being a source of his righteousness. Every time that we come together on Sundays or a feast day, we say the creed and it starts out, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Every time we say the Apostles' Creed during the Rosary or in your personal prayer life, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This idea of God being almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful, it's an interesting concept. Never want to lose balance in it, though. I used to serve a tradition where it was the height of preaching to find a passage in the Scripture, because we were not bound by a liturgical calendar, to find some place in Scripture that talked about God dropping the hammer on somebody. Man, that was what you wanted. So God, you know, he's just waiting up there. Yeah, you mess up one little bit. That was sort of the rule of the day. That is an extreme imbalance. Our God is truly omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There is no question about that. You hang around here for more than a couple months, you hear. That's why we do the things that we do up here, because we appreciate who he is as sovereign Lord. We understand who we are before him, and we act accordingly. But you never want to lose a balance between God's strength and his righteousness. Because there is a balance between the two. It's not an either-or proposition. The prophet speaks, thy strength is the source of righteousness. So he's not a cosmic ogre that's sitting up on his throne waiting for somebody to mess up so he can, as I said, drop the hammer on them. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. That's not who he is. Now, with that being said, you can't have an imbalance on the other side either. You can't. And it is truly unfortunate that we hear a whole lot in different places that God is sort of this milquetoast God. He sits up in his heaven as the cosmic Santa Claus, and he's basically the doting old grandfather that boys will be boys, and, you know, I really don't care about that. I'm God. You know, I'm perfect. I know they're not. That's not who he is either. Because just as we walk around thinking in an imbalanced way that his omnipotence is the extreme in your life, you walk around like you are a slave to him, like you are just afraid to do anything. It's not love. Now, the other side of that spectrum is also not what you want, because then you can walk around thinking that you can basically do anything you want, and he's not going to hold you accountable for that. That is not the case either. His strength is the source of his righteousness. As I said, his omnipotence really is no question, if you pay any attention to him at all. I mean, you're here, so I think you would be attentive to him. Everybody knows he is truly God Almighty. St. Clement of Rome says, and I quote, speaking of God's power, he brought all things into being by the power of his word, and with a single word, he could make them all disappear. That's absolutely true. He could. But guess what? He doesn't. Why? Because he's not like us. Thank God he's not like us. You know, he truly doesn't have to give an account to anyone either. You know, I hear so often, and I'm sure if you share your faith with people, you hear this, I used to go to church, but, you know, I don't anymore because this, that, and the other thing, and that's not fair. Who are we to say what is fair and what is not when it comes to God? The last time I looked, he spoke and everything leapt into existence. The last time I looked, this was his universe. So he is the arbiter on what is fair and what is not, not us. Father Roberts last week in a different context spoke of God's his inscrutable will and how, you know, he put it this way, and it's really true, kind of base, but really true, that it's none of our business. That is really true. It's none of our business why he does what he does. But we should glean from his strength that he is truly a righteous God. It is neither, not an either or proposition. It is both and. He is strong. He is omnipotent. He is also righteous and very, very merciful. His goodness, because he is divine, tempers the exercise of his power. We as human beings, in our weakness, whether you're discussing it on an individual level or governments, we have a very, very limited power when it comes to God, okay? The strongest government on the face of this planet, all the power they wield, no matter how it may be manifest, is minuscule and infinitesimal compared to the power of God. But unfortunately, in our sin and in our human weakness and insecurity, we have a tendency to, with what little power we have, we lash out. That's why we have such things as crime and wars and things of that nature. We are not responsible with power. We are human. We are frail. We are sinful. God is not. Because he is divine, he does not wield his power recklessly. And I would submit to you, he very rarely wields it at all. Albeit, he was absolutely justified in doing so if he wanted. The prophet tells us in the Book of Wisdom that God has care for all men, that he is righteous, deeming it alien to his power to condemn him who does not deserve to be punished. And again, he judges with mildness and with great forbearance. In short, his strength is the source of righteousness and a primary reason for our hope. So this isn't just a theological lesson in who God is and in his power and righteousness. It's what it means to you. You know, what do you come away from this whole thing? When we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, it's not a matter of understanding cognitively that God is all-powerful. That's kind of a given. It should be a source of the greatest of hopes within you. Thou hast filled thy sons with good hope, is what the prophet says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thou hast filled thy sons with good hope. How do you get hope out of God being all-powerful and almighty? A couple reasons. One, because of his predisposition to forgive. You cannot read the Scriptures, Old or New Testament, without the mercies and the patience and the forbearance of God. His predisposition in his divinity is to forgive. With great forbearance, thou dost govern us, is what the prophet says. Every time we get together, every time you say the rosary, I pray every day, a couple times a day at least, you're saying the Lord's Prayer. The petitions of the Lord's Prayer are not suggestions. They always hear that, you know, Ten Commandments aren't Ten Commandments, and they're not the Ten Suggestions, they're the Ten Commandments. Well, the petitions of the Lord's Prayer are the same thing. Before we say the Lord's Prayer, let us pray now as our Savior Christ hath commanded and taught us. We are bold to say, and one of the petitions, the sixth specifically, is forgive us our trespasses. Why did Jesus Christ give us that part of the prayer? Because he wants us to know, as the second person of the Trinity, that's who God is. His predisposition, his desire, is to forgive us our trespasses. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. You cannot have done something this many times, for this long, repetitively, falling back into it. It doesn't matter what it is, he will forgive you for that. He will forgive you time and time again. Forgive us our trespasses. Our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to ensure that we understood who God is, his predisposition to forgive us our sins, no matter what they are. It says, but in the prophecy, thou givest repentance for sins. Under a God of such clemency, with his predisposition to forgive us, how could any of us despair in the forgiveness of Almighty God? How could you despair? Well, I really don't know if you forgive me. I don't know if he forgave me of this or that. You know how you ensure that he has forgiven you? You let him speak to you through the lips of the ones who are his ambassadors in this world, his priests, when you're in the confessional. That's how you become assured of this. When the priest looks at you speaking for Jesus Christ, not because he says he does, but because Christ in John 20 says he does, whosoever sins will be remitted, they will be remitted, whoever sins they will be retained. That's where it comes to fruition, in the confessional. And when the priest says, I absolve you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you can be assured that your sins are absolved. Again, not because I say it, because he says it, and he is God. He says you are forgiven. And to question that is the height of blasphemy. It is truly the height of blasphemy to question as to whether or not you are forgiven after you leave the confessional, if indeed it was a good confession. That's why the Holy Spirit speaking through the church has mandated that confession is not an option for Catholics. You must go to confession at least once a year, and that's basically bread and water in the spiritual life. Nobody usually wants to live on bread and water. If you want to go once a year, that's all well and good. I know I need it a whole lot more than that. Because I like hearing when a priest says, I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No one can doubt. You cannot doubt God's predisposition to forgive. Open this book. Look at the personalities and question if God ever forgave this, that, or the other thing. Adam, one rule, and he messed it up. If God was like we were, as I said before, if he had been like a human being, you give somebody one rule and they violate it, hey, no do-overs. If God had been like us, he would have turned this whole place to glass and started over. I would have. Give somebody one rule. Tell them they can do anything that they want except this one thing, and they do that. There's no question that Adam's in heaven because God sought him out afterwards. David, referred to as a man after God's own heart. Adulterer, murderer, a man after God's own heart. God even kept promises to his kids and grandkids because he was a man after God's own heart after doing that. Peter, St. Peter, first Pope. No, you'll never be crucified. Now I'm around. That's not going to happen. Denies him three times because some little girl says, hey, you're one of his apostles. I saw you with him. Peter, St. Peter, the first Pope, denies the Savior three times. St. Paul, Pharisee of Pharisees, holds the cloaks of those who stoned the first Christian martyr, Stephen, consenting to his death, an unrighteous execution, breathes out destruction, his words, not mine, breathes out fire and destruction against the Church of Jesus Christ, arresting people because of their faith, women and children, throwing them in prison. Saint Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Man, that's pretty arrogant to think that you've done something in your life that's any worse than what any of those guys did, and they're all in heaven because God has a predisposition to forgive. Now, I started this out with talking about, you know, I used to get a kick out of God, you know, the hammer wielder up there, just waiting for you to mess up. Fortunately, I got better, and it's not so much about those whom he has hammered, but by those millions and millions more that he has not very deservedly hammered. I'll leave you with these words. These are the last verse of that particular prophecy in the Book of Wisdom. Speaking of God's power, it says, through such works thou hast taught thy people that the righteous man must be kind, and thou hast filled thy sons with good hope, because thou givest repentance for sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.